Earth, sky.
We know that fresh water availability is going to become an increasingly critical issue worldwide, so we really have to be able to map water use at the scale that water is being used. And Landsat really is the only satellite system currently operating that can provide us routinely and globally thermal information at this critical spatial scale.
You're listening to research scientist Martha Anderson of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Landsat is a satellite program that's tracked changes at Earth's surface since 1972. Dr. Anderson uses Landsat images to monitor water used by U.S. farms at the scale of individual fields. Martha Anderson spoke more about monitoring our water use from space with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Anderson, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now, what do you mean by evapotranspiration, and why is it important to measure evapotranspiration rates from space?
Well, evapotranspiration, or ET, as we call it for short, it describes the exchange of water vapor between the land surface and the atmosphere, and it's made up of all the water that's evaporated off of surfaces, like the soil surface, leaf surfaces, and all water that's used by plants in the process of photosynthesis, and that's the transpiration component. So it's evaporation plus transpiration. And in agricultural landscapes, ET represents the total amount of water that's used in the process of growing crops. We really need to be able to monitor ET because it's a really crucial part of the global water cycle. So if we can map ET accurately over large regions, we can estimate soil moisture availability and how much is being used for different purposes like agriculture and urban uses. And we know that fresh water is becoming increasingly scarce worldwide. So it's going to be really increasingly important that we be able to monitor this component of the water budget very accurately.
And it's amazing you can do this accurately from space. How does Landsat, in orbit around Earth, see how water is being used on an agricultural field?
Well, Landsat has a number of imaging systems, and one of them collects radiation that is in the thermal wave band. Those are wavelengths that are longer than our eyes can see. All objects emit this kind of thermal radiation. The hotter the object, the stronger the thermal emission. So using these thermal wave band systems, we can map out the temperature of the land surface remotely. With Landsat, we can do this mapping at fine enough spatial resolution that we can detect temperature differences between different fields, agricultural fields, and this is very useful. Crops that are evaporating water with very high rate of ET tend to be cooler because the evaporation is cooling down the surface. But as the crops become stressed, the transpiration shuts down, the canopy starts to heat up, and we can detect those elevated leaf temperatures from space. So with Landsat, we can detect that a given field is maybe not as healthy as it should be.
How is the water use information that Landsat collects being used?
It really is being used operationally now, and particularly in the western states where kind of water resources are getting increasingly tight and they're being depleted sometimes at an unsustainable rate. So I'll give you a couple examples of how it's being used today. In Idaho, for example, the water resource managers and the water management districts are using Landsat ET to see if individual irrigators in the irrigation districts are complying with their allocated water rights or if they're using more water than they should be. And they can tell that by looking at time sequences of Landsat ET data. And also, because we have a Landsat archive, image archive, extending over a long period of time, kind of back to the early 80s, we can make a time sequence map of how water has been used historically over a landscape. And that's really critical information if you're trying to trade your water rights with someone else. The farmers can use this information also to figure out which fields need to be irrigated and by how much they need to be irrigated. We can also study kind of the trade-offs in water use between different users. For example, in some parts of the West, you have irrigation occurring next to a stream that's supporting some important habitat, salmon spawning grounds, for example. We can use the Landsat ET to see how much the irrigated agriculture may be influencing the stream flow in these critical ecosystems.
Dr. Anderson, would you please take a minute to tell us about some of your recent research? You've recently published work on how evaporation and transpiration by plants can be used to better understand drought using Landsat data. What did you find?
Well, we know that when an area is experiencing drought, its ET is going to be necessarily lower. The soil is dry, there's less water there available for the plants to use. So actually, these ET maps make excellent drought maps as well.
You know, I'd like to follow up on that thought too. As I understand, the information from Landsat is freely available to anyone. Is that right?
That's right. And that's a change that occurred just over the last couple years. It's incredibly valuable information. Let's make sure it gets used by making sure everybody can freely access the data. And that's enabled a whole new line of research to be able to do these time series analyses of how things are changing in different regions. How are urban regions expanding? How is water use changing in these expanding urban regions? How is water changing as we convert land from natural vegetation into croplands or into housing developments? These are studies we can now do that we couldn't do 5 years ago.
Yeah, and people listening may be familiar they may not be familiar necessarily with Landsat, but if they go onto Google, they use Google Earth. That's where it all comes from, isn't it? Maybe there's a Google drought coming.
Well, hey, that is exactly what I want to work for. We can get these thermal images from a number of different satellites, continental scale. We can use the weather satellites. My concept is let's integrate all this thermal information so we can make a Google Earth for drought, zooming in on areas that are drought affected, ending up at Landsat scale, where we can pinpoint what are the most drought affected crops, what areas are being most impacted, and that's going to be just very useful when we try to distribute yield loss compensation, crop insurance. At the end of the day, it's kind of on a county, sub-county scale. We really want to know what parts of those counties were really affected. And also in other countries, like in the Horn of Africa, if we can pinpoint where the real critical areas are soon enough, then we can better mobilize our resources towards those areas and maybe get a more effective response. But yeah, exactly. I'd like a Google Earth for drought.
You've been listening to Martha Anderson, a research physical scientist at the Hydrology and Remote Sensing Laboratory of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Agricultural Research Service. Our thanks today to the NASA and USGS Landsat program, creating an unparalleled record of Earth's changing landscapes. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.